How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are here for you Monday through Friday, so thanks for making us part of your daily routine. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, and my post-game partner, Sam Jam Packard. And on the bright side, Sam, we were right about this.
Yeah, we nailed this one. We said the Cavs would dominate, and that's what they did for pretty much the entire game.
Basically the entire game. 117-104 in a game that ended up a little bit closer than it seemed or it felt. If we want to have a positive spin, the Celtics did outscore the Cavaliers by 9 in the second half, so that's good. But basically the things that we thought that would probably happen, LeBron James going nuts, Tristan Thompson grabbing too many offensive rebounds, the Celtics somehow not being able to hit shots, all of those things kind of came to fruition and caused a very disappointing night for some people. Although, as I said going into this, if you had low expectations going in, it really wasn't that disappointing. So This is kind of how it goes. We're brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is the best way for those of you who are hiring, the best way to find candidates by posting your jobs all over the internet. We got a special deal for you coming up on ZipRecruiter.com. Let's just kind of, I guess, first of all, let me take a breath because I'm kind of struggling where to start with this. Let's just kind of get...
Well, I see it as the Celtics have two main problems. They cannot stop LeBron James or the Cavs' offense. And two, they can't score the ball when they're on offense. So you put those two things together, the kind of bad defense and the bad offense. It was a long night for the Celtics. I thought they actually did a decent job getting good looks in the first half. They just didn't knock down shots. They were 1-for-15 from three at one point. It feels like if the Celtics are going to pull out a game, they're going to have to score over 120 points. They're going to have to put up at least 30 points a quarter. And when your shots, your open shots, your uncontested shots aren't falling at home, they really have no chance because there's no way for them to stop LeBron James. They don't have a guy who can guard him individually. And if they start doubling him, oh yeah, he's an amazing passer, and his team is entirely made up of three-point shooters. So there's no real answer. I don't see what adjustment Brad Stevens can make because the Cavs scored 61 points in the first half, only attempting 1-3, I think it's, or making 1-3. It's just the Celtics are kind of screwed, so they really have to participate in a shootout. They really have to score. Just and keep scoring every single possession, and it's just not something we've seen the Celtics do for long stretches. At least recently, at least in the playoffs, it's not they can put together good quarters, but entire games where they're scoring at an elite level is not something that's happened
before. This is, I think, part of this is a little bit of a culture shock for the Boston Celtics. They just spent 7 games playing against the Wizards, and the Wizards are a good team, but they're not the Cavaliers. And when you are, I almost want to compare it to in baseball when you've been facing a knuckleball pitcher for 7 innings, and all of a sudden they bring in a guy that throws 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He throws that first pitch like, holy shit, was that 200 miles an hour? It just feels so much faster. The first half, as compared to the second half, I think the Celtics were frantic in the first half. They looked a weird combination of both tired and some people called it nervous. They were way out of position. They were way overreacting. They were trying so kind of, they're trying too hard on like closeouts and stuff. Like they just weren't really aware of what the actual Cavaliers speed was. And I think they started out the game playing at Wizards speed, and that's just a different speed. And Jay King tweeted out that he said, there's no Brandon Jennings coming in off the bench to kind of save you here. It's just a different – the Cavaliers are a different animal. So I think it took a little bit, honestly, between the Celtics playing 7 games and being tired and the Cavaliers being kind of rested, and the Cavaliers just being at a completely different level than the two teams that they faced in the playoffs so far, and how the Celtics have just been for a month plus now dealing with those teams. I think there was a little bit of a shock at the beginning at the speed at which the Cavaliers were moving and executing, and obviously LeBron is LeBron. Now, that's only part of it. And I don't want to make it sound like that's the excuse and look at what they did in the second half. They did calm down in the second half, and they got back to playing basketball, mostly, I think, because, and let's talk about Marcus Smart. Like, Marcus Smart became a real pain in the ass, a super huge pain in the ass for the Cavaliers. And I know he fouled out after playing 21 minutes. Shout out to that Danger Cart for calling that, actually. Like, to the minute.
Yeah, what an obscure prediction that happened to come exactly right.
That was wild, right?
That was amazing.
But I think his, I get for lack of a better term, antics annoyed Cleveland enough, pumped up his team enough, and they kind of got back to playing some basketball. Probably a little combination of the Cavaliers being up 61-39 at the half to, you know, maybe they relaxed a little bit and allowed that to happen. But I think now at least the Celtics can go into game 2 with a better understanding of what exactly they're facing. They still have to play perfectly, but at least now they have a better idea of what perfectly means.
Yeah, we really saw in the final 6 minutes of the third quarter, the Celtics kind of just increased their intensity on the defensive end. And it was a lot started by Marcus Smart just kind of antagonizing Tristan Thompson as much as possible. And really, he's the only member of the Celtics who knows how to properly box out. So if that's the solution, I'm all for him starting at power forward to start the game and Horford defending Kevin Love and Smart defending Tristan Thompson. Just because it's an interesting enough wrinkle, and I feel like that's the only thing the Celtics can do at this point to keep Tristan Thompson off the glass. But if you're right, that's the kind of the way the Celtics are going to need to play if they want to win a game. They're going to need to play like that for over 3 quarters. And I hate to come back to this, but we just haven't seen them play consistently great for this entire playoffs. They haven't really turned to, except for that game 6 against the Chicago when the Bulls kind of gave up. It's really the Celtics need to put in that maximum effort, and on top of that, knock down their 3-pointers, which they also do during that run. It's a tough situation because we can talk about all these adjustments. We can talk about them playing with intensity. They still don't have a way to stop LeBron James. The man scored 38 points tonight, only making 1 3. He was just no matter who they put on him, Kelly Olynyk or Al Horford, he blew past them. Jay Crowder, he blew past a couple times. Gerald Green, he just, there's no stopping him. Marcus Smart couldn't stop him. He's too small. I just don't know what the Celtics do to kind of slow him down at this point, other than doubling. But like I mentioned before, they're just surrounded by 3-point shooters. And Kevin Love was 6 of 9 from 3-point range tonight. He scored 32 points. It's just, even when LeBron James wasn't scoring, the Cavs were doing great from three. So I just, I don't know. I'm at a loss for now how you possibly stop LeBron, other than just kind of matching him shot for shot, which I'm hoping will happen when the Warriors come in the finals.
There is a way to beat the Cavaliers. Look, the Celtics scored 104 points, and yeah, a bunch of them came in the garbage time, but there was still 36 points in the third quarter that the Celtics scored, that even though the Cavaliers were up a lot, there's still a full half of basketball to go, and they still had LeBron out there. LeBron played 42 minutes, so they weren't it's not like the Celtics did this against the full Cavs bench. So there is some merit to the Celtics being able to score against the Cavaliers. In the first half, the Celtics missed a ton of open shots, and they shot 2 of 16 from 3. That's just abhorrent. Isaiah Thomas, 3 of 11 overall, 1 of 4 from 3. Bradley was the other guy who made a 3. Horford missed 2. Crowder missed 1. Olynyk, Smart both missed 2. Rozier missed. They don't need to hit at their average. They need to hit above their average. And they need to hit at 40-something percent. And so in the first half, if they score at that average, maybe – so they hit 6 or 7. Let's say 7 three-pointers. So that's 5 more. That's 15 more points. Now you're at least closer. Now, that's a way oversimplification. But my point stands in that for the Celtics to have a chance against the Cavaliers, they really simply need to knock down any open shot they have. Obviously, the open threes are preferable. They can't work hard to get those open threes and miss. It's probably too much to ask, but that's what it will take. It will take guys hitting at a rate that they're not used to hitting. But beyond that, I think even at an average rate would have been nice, just to kind of keep that close. So I think that's what it comes down to. And somehow pumping up the pace, 88 field goal attempts. I think they need to be up in well into the 90s, close to 100 field goal attempts, which means running off of makes. Anytime whenever they get a chance to have the ball in their hands, it's just running, pushing the ball, just fast break, old school Tommy Heinsohn style, running, and just getting those shots up. And the more shots you take, the better opportunity you have to score. That's what it's going to come down to for the Celtics to have at least an inkling of a chance.
And I think on top of that, it's going to have to all happen immediately once they start game 2, because it feels like there's a definite little brother, big brother factor here, where if the Celtics get down as much as 15, it's going to be really tough for them to get back. We saw them make a little bit of noise in the end of the third quarter, and they were still found themselves down 20. It feels like they really have to keep this game close, just for the kind of the emotion of the game. And this is coming from I have an older brother, so I understand this is like overcoming the psychological portion of that. It's just like LeBron James basically just came in here and did whatever he wanted. So if the Celtics fall down big, at least 15 or 20 in game 2, I feel like it's hard to ignore that psychological factor. It's like, man, what do we do to beat this guy? Because nothing has worked. So they really have to, if they're going to throw that like kind of the punch to show that they're in the game, it has to be right when they start game 2. Otherwise, I just think there's this whole psychological factor that's hard to overcome if you're the Celtics.
Okay, so we keep talking about Amir Johnson not playing and playing and not playing and then playing. He played 4.5 minutes in this game. Unable to do anything at all. So I'm starting to wonder again if he's going to start anymore, if he's going to play anymore. Has he played his final minutes as a Celtic? Do we start somebody else? Do you start Marcus Smart? Jaylen Brown. Let's talk a little bit about Jaylen Brown. He was a big bright spot for the Celtics. 20 minutes played, 10 points, 9 rebounds, an assist, 5 of 7 shooting. He's the only guy that could really shoot much besides Jay Crowder, who had the quietest 21.8 rebound, 5 assist game you're ever going to see. But Jaylen Brown is a potential answer for the Celtics, I think. Or why not? Just throw him in there. Why not?
Well, absolutely. Throw him in there. Let's see what the young fella can do. We saw the Celtics go to him, especially I felt like when Kyle Korver's in the game and just using Jaylen Brown's athleticism to beat Korver off the dribble. He's definitely not scared offensively. He's looking to take it to the rim. He had that one brutal, brutal defensive mistake where he just didn't, you know, stop the ball unless Tristan Thompson just yam all over him. But you know what? More minutes for Jaylen Brown. I think starting Jaylen Brown, I'm open to the idea. Clearly, Amir Johnson is not working. Clearly, having two bigs on the floor is not going to work for the Celtics. So I think they're going to have to go smaller. I really hope the answer is not Gerald Greed, even though he scored 11 points tonight and hit the knockdown three threes. It's got to be Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart. I think you just got to play small for the entirety of the game. So I think it's the type of thing where Brad's not going to – he's going to start Amir Johnson tomorrow, play him for 2 minutes, and then you'll see Jaylen Brown be the first sub off the bench or Marcus Smart. And then Brad will do the mercy and finally start someone else in game three.
That may well be the case. I mean, to start a guy for 4.5 minutes and that's it, have him not play anymore, basically you're admitting that that's not going to work. I agree. The go small, just try to outrun him. And look, if you have LeBron out there playing for 42 minutes and you have him running up and down the floor for 42 minutes, maybe that's just one possible way to get him to slow down a little bit at the end of the game. Maybe.
Nope, he's a cyborg.
Yeah,
he's a cyborg.
He is.
He got hurt today, and he looked like he had a bad ankle injury, and he was completely fine 3 minutes later. And I got me thinking, has LeBron James ever been hurt for longer than 5 minutes? Like, I feel like there's been numerous times where he comes up limping, and then he's just exactly a normal player. He is regenerated. He is Wolverine. It just doesn't make any sense. The only thing that can stop him is some cramps in San Antonio. Like, it just, that's the only physical defect this man has ever had.
That's basically it. It's only been those cramps, and he seems to have that under control. So I guess that's it. Like, there's no point in going too deep into this. The Celtics tried to... I don't know what they tried to do today. They came out, they played a basketball game, and they lost. It sucked. But whatever. It's fine, because this is all house money. And I know people might be disappointed, but this was the absolute ceiling. Getting to this point was the absolute ceiling for this team, and anything beyond here is gravy. But that doesn't mean that we can't kind of try to figure this out. And one way, like, when it comes to basketball, we know it's the right players on the court that were going to be the key to success. And it's the same way for your business. It's not any different. Your company needs the right people on the court to be your best. So where do you find the top talent? I'm telling you, it's ZipRecruiter.com. I've been in your shoes. I've said it before on this. I've been a hiring manager. I know what it's like to try and find people that to fill slots. It's just a pain. It's a big pain. You can't just do it by posting to one site. You got to post on all of the top job sites. And you can do it with ZipRecruiter, 100 plus job sites with one click. And that includes social media. You can do it on Facebook, Twitter, or all those other job boards. So that's how ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. In fact, we're going to get into some analytics here. 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. I don't know what that would translate to in playoff per, but that would be pretty high. So
30.
At least. Solid 30. Okay, so don't juggle emails. Don't worry about people calling your office. None of that crap. It's not worth it. Simply screen, rate, manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. Right now, our listeners can start forming their own winning team. This winning team could beat the Cavaliers. That's how good ZipRecruiter is. And you can do it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. Try it for free today. Free at ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. And
how else? I mean, I'm someone who just graduated and I'm looking for a job. So how else are you going to find my resume without going to ZipRecruiter? Because let me tell you, I'm a good get. I think I'd be fit in with a number of companies. ZipRecruiter is the way to Jam's heart. So I would say definitely put that LO Celtics in there, and you'll have a good chance of hiring me in this offseason.
I'm all in. We need look. I know what it's like to have Jam Packard on a team. You need him on your team.
Jam
Shall we get to the Jam's junk drawer?
There's one more thing I want to talk about actual basketball before we get to the junk drawer, and it's just Isaiah Thomas this evening. We saw him struggle against the Cavs offense, and they were doing something. They weren't committing as many players against him. They're basically just allowing him to go to the rim and rely on their size of their help defenders to kind of meet him at the rim. He did an all right job of that, but I think there were a number of occasions where he had just kind of wide open mid-range jump shots. And I think if the Celtics are going to score the way we kind of described earlier in the podcast, he's really just going to have to start pulling up and taking long twos and knocking them down, because that felt like the only opportunity he had to kind of really make an impact tonight. But he kept on trying to get into the paint and kind of felt like he was still treating it like he had guys around him, like he was playing against the Wizards. But he's really just got to knock down those long twos if the Celtics are going to have a chance and really open up the offense, because the Cavaliers are a huge basketball team and every single one of their players is just big for their position. So they're not going to have a problem really meeting or kind of protecting the rim against Isaiah.
I'll say that I agree a little bit with that. I'd like to still see him get into the paint, but maybe try a series of like floaters or get somewhere around the free throw line and not, I don't know if that probably doesn't qualify as a long two, but it's more mid-range. But
yeah, something in the mid-range. He has to do something because they're just waiting for him at the restricted circle right now, and there's not much.
Yeah, I think he needs to go back to some of his old tricks, like jumping off the wrong foot, like those shots that he was making earlier in the season, kind of like off the left foot type of shots that throw off the timing of the guy trying to block his shot and contest his shot. Like he needs to start changing. Going back to my baseball analogy, changing speeds. He just needs to start showing those defenders a different look. So whether it's getting a floater up, jumping off the wrong foot, and getting a shot up sooner than a defender would think, and that's just enough to keep the defender honest so he can't time it and prepare for what Isaiah is going to do. I think Isaiah got away from that a little bit. I think he needs to start digging into that bag of tricks a little bit more and get a lot craftier around the rim.
Just something to pull the guys like away from the basket. I think it will open up passing lanes for cutters. It's just because whatever the Cavs were doing in the first half, it's Isaiah wasn't the one getting the open looks. It was everyone else, I think. But if the Celtics are really going to score with the Cavs, Isaiah's going to need to go off for at least 30, probably, for the Celtics to have a realistic chance
probably,
of winning.
Probably. Okay.
All right, let's get to this junk
let's drawer.
Go. It's full of junk after watching this game. Hit that
Let's
music.
Go. I got it this time.
Amir Johnson just can't jump with Tristan Thompson. It just breaks my heart. I know we talked about Amir a little bit, but it's sad for the big dog to just – his ankles just can't do anything against him, and it's very difficult to watch. Big Papi was in the house tonight supporting his Dominican brother Al Horford. I just want to take this time to take all the credit in the world for Al Horford coming to Boston, because last year when he was with the Hawks, I made a point of going into the locker room and asking Al Horford about his relationship with Pedro Martinez and David Ortiz, and I feel like because of that he really started to consider Boston. I told him about all the Dominican flags that would show up at Pedro starts. So you're welcome, Celtics fans. I'm the reason Al Horford came to Boston. Let's go. Celtics got to implement the old Princeton style offense, just constantly backdoor cutting, because that feels like the only way they're going to get any sort of consistent offense. Just cut, like Princeton, when you're a 15 seed going up against UCLA, they just got to constantly backdoor cut. If anyone can do it, Brad Stevens, Wonder Boy, can do it before game two. I'm here for Marcus shenanigans. I think Marcus needs to be all up in the Cavs business for the entire game. He needs to flop. He needs to start. He needs to get in numerous fisticuffs. If we're going to get our asses kicked, why not go out with Marcus Smart being the most obnoxious player of all time? It just doesn't feel like there's any other way.
I'm all in for that. Let's just do it. I think the whole team should be trash talking from the beginning. Like, it just, everybody should just dive into this, knowing that what's the worst case scenario? You're going to get blown out for three more games? Do it. Everybody's all in.
All right. Early on the game, it was a kind of a competition for which Cav was going to become my new least favorite player. And it started off with Shumpert versus Kevin Love. But with the game that Kevin Love had, he quickly emerged as my least favorite Cavs player. There was one point where he got fouled by Isaiah and he was on the ground. He kind of gave this, like, I'm going to say it's a douchey smirk that really drew my ire. So Kevin Love, congratulations as your Jam Packard's new least favorite opponent. So he's really going to just all the threes he makes is going to really piss me off the entire series. So congratulations, Kevin Love. Tyler Zeller got some burn and wasn't good. But wasn't bad. Didn't fail us. It made sense. The Celtics needed some size to protect the rim. And unfortunately for the Celtics, the answer was Tyler Zeller. But shouts to Tyler. He didn't make it any worse than it already was. Justin Rowan, Cavs Nada on Twitter. I just started following him for the series. Normally he's like, he is the most obnoxious Cleveland Cavaliers fan. And it takes every fiber in my being to keep following him, but I'm doing it for the love of the series and the rivalry, if you can even call it a rivalry. But just, I want to let you all know it's tough for me because he just really makes me angry. He's very arrogant. And this leads to my other point. He's very critical of Al Horford and the signing of Al Horford. And this is just it's probably the saddest moment of tonight's podcast, is just discussing Al Horford's record against LeBron James in the playoffs. I think he's 0-13 now.
I thought it was 0-12, but either way, it's bad.
It's not good. He just can't perform against LeBron James, and it's like, man, I love Al Horford. Al Horford's the man. The entire reason the Celtics are doing this well this season is because of Al Horford and his plays on the defensive end and his opening up the system of the offense for Isaiah. It's just, I have no way to retort any kind of Al Horford versus LeBron James argument, but I love Al and I feel for him. So when Justin Rowan brings it up, it's just like stabbing me in the heart. I don't know what to do.
I have nothing to add to that. Sad.
Sad. All right. We got a Brad Stevens timeout at the end of the half with 4 seconds left to get an Isaiah Thomas three. That was pretty cool. Classic Brad Stevens. Kyrie Irving didn't do much this game, so there's a moral victory for all the Stool Greeny, come on, like for the IT versus Kyrie argument, I think you got to give this one to IT, even though the team lost by what, 27, like 37? Isaiah had a better game than Kyrie. I just want to shout out to the members of Celtics Twitter still talking shit tonight. Those guys are the real MVPs. Those guys are committed way more than I could ever be. So, you know what, good for you guys. The Cavs are super obnoxious to the fact that they're up by 20 for most of the game and still argue every single call. There was one play earlier in the game where Isaiah Thomas got fouled and like threw the ball off the backboard in frustration, and LeBron James went after the refs and was like, come on, that's got to be a tech. And it's like, come on, buddy, you're the best player in the world. We don't need any of this. Just they act like it's the biggest deal in the world when they don't get calls. And I know this is something that only frustrates us because we're down by 20, but come on, you're up by 20. It's just not fair.
Right, I'm with you.
When does Gary Tanguay come out with the take that the Celtics just got to start fouling LeBron James hard and show him that this is playoff basketball? Because I think it's before game two on his whatever his show is. Someone's going to come with that take, and I felt like it's Tanguay's take to
probably. He's probably making it as we record this, to be honest.
because there's always one dumb kind of guy take after a team loses bad in the playoffs, and it's like, oh yeah, you should just hit them hard. It happened with Isaiah Thomas in Chicago. It's obnoxious. Yeah. But Tanguay, let's go for it. I love arrogant Avery Bradley. I think that's kind of been one of the best developments of this playoffs, is him just having so much more confidence. And I don't think it's actually arrogance, but it's so much better to say arrogant Avery Bradley for the alliteration rather than confident Avery Bradley. But when he tried to yam over LeBron James down by 19 points, that was awesome. I really wish that went in, but I'm all for arrogant Avery.
Yeah, that's a great bad guy wrestling name.
Oh, that's good. I'm down with that. At the end of the third quarter interview, Brad Stevens loves the metaphor, just got to go for singles, no home runs.
Yeah.
And he reminds me very much of Ichiro, because they said Ichiro could have hit like 60 home runs a year, but he just loved going the other way and hitting like a bloop single to left field. So Brad Stevens is the Ichiro of coaching basketball. Agree or disagree?
I agree. They used to say the same thing about Wade Boggs. But I'm much older than you, so I remember things they said about Wade Boggs as opposed to, you know, before your time, you know, stuff.
All I know about Wade Boggs is that he ate chicken at like 4:26 before every single game, and he once drank 17 beers on a commercial flight.
Which was the basis for an Always Sunny episode last season, which was awesome. The Wade Boggs episode. Which was great. So, but yeah.
So, Brad Stevens, Wade Boggs, Ichiro, basically all the same.
Yeah,
is what we're trying to say. Is the conclusion here? Jaylen Brown, after he got basically bullied out of the lane at one point, he was trying to complain to the refs, and the refs were just completely ignoring him. And I saw him trying to snap at the and try and get the refs' attention so he could complain more, and the refs weren't having it. And so that was just kind of the classic rook. Like, you're not. Especially if they're calling it for LeBron James, they're not going to listen to your complaints.
So, if it was Fizdale complaining, they actually did rook Jaylen Brown.
They absolutely rooked him, and he is a rookie, so he kind of.
That's what he meant. All right.
And then finally, many of you may see the explicit image that's going around the internet tonight of Isaiah Thomas attempting to foul LeBron James. This is where he came up with the limp. And Isaiah is a tiny man, and he did his best to kind of hard foul him like Gary Tanguay would have wanted. But he's a tiny man, and LeBron James is a superhuman. And Isaiah's head ended up in his crotch. and it's just it was a bad visual, not great optics. But that's all I'm going to say about that. It's not the tiny man sportsman's fault. It's just bad.
That's
visual.
Just, yep, wrong place, wrong time. That's probably going to make – it's probably going to take on a life of its own on the internet. Oh, well, then file that one under shit happens. I don't. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. All right. Good one. That junk drawer was better than the game. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. A lot of junk.
Celtics lose game one, 117-104. In the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a tough one. Friday night is game two. And if you are listening and you are a New Yorker, you should come join me at Professor Tom's in the East Village, because I am holding a New York Celtics fans get together viewing party for game two. Search for it on Eventbrite. Search for Celtics Cavs game two viewing party. Go to my Twitter. It's on Twitter. I've tweeted out the link a bunch. Let me know. Tweet at me and I will send you the link if need be. But come out. We've got a few spots left. We're trying to get a few dozen people to come out and watch the game. And we'll plaster it on social media. We'll have a good time. So, look, the worst case scenario is it goes like this. We're already in a bar. We can drink our sorrows away. And it's New York. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can take a train or a bus or, you know, one of the million cabs that are out there. So do that. We'll watch game two together. Hopefully game two is much better than game one. Remember to, if you're a hiring manager, if you're running a business, remember ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. That is your free trial, ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics, to put together a winning team and post your job to over 100 job sites with one click. Do that. In the meantime, we're going to get ready for game two. Jay King is back tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast. He should have a special guest, somebody that you should know. I'll go ahead and say it. We got Mike Fratello to come on to the next show, assuming that things continue and nothing gets canceled. But right now we've got Mike Fratello on tomorrow's show. So stick around for that, and we'll be back with more. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.